Well, if you were in church last week, you may realize that the first verse of today's gospel repeats the last verse that we heard then. It's unusual, so it's worth looking at in more detail. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." It clearly confused and angered his hearers. But I wonder what it means to you. I want to suggest that it has meaning for us both as individuals and as a community. First of all, as individuals. It's my belief that our physical needs are important to God, and that it's his wish that those needs should be met. His will is for us to have a good life in a very everyday practical sense. The world's produce, God's gifts in creation, are sufficient for our needs. Accounts of miraculous feedings are found throughout the Bible, in both Old and New Testaments. And I understand them to be showing us God's desire for our material well-being. He is concerned with us as whole persons, not just with the aspects that we may call spiritual. But God also shows us in the life of Jesus the qualities and choices that lead to true fulfillment. And these are not just those that meet our material needs. Faith in Jesus gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And meaning and purpose are things that many people are searching for in today's world. And it's our belief that if we listen to him, study his word, and follow Jesus, we will know a purpose-filled life. Now, both those things are for us as individuals, but God also shows us a way to live together that will lead to wholeness of life everyone, both now and in the future. There is a communal dimension underlying all that Jesus showed us about God. And that's made very apparent in today's epistle from the letter to the Ephesians, advising on how to live with each other. Many people today reduce life and religion to something very personal and individual. It's not uncommon to hear someone say, "I keep myself to myself, live and let live, I never harm anyone." But that's not enough if we want to call ourselves Christians. Because what we do with and for each other is part of the package. It matters enormously, not just in human terms, but to God. We believe that God is seeking to build his kingdom, and that's a community in which love is not the exception, but the rule. I've been glued, as I expect many of you have, to the news over the past weeks, and it seems to me there's been a kind of battle for community values. Attacks, rioting, destruction have been answered not just by the police, but by people coming out to assert that these are not what constitute the communities in which we want to live. Now, I don't want to glorify one side of this debate over another. There's important issues here. But it seems to me that some people have been saying our community is not about attacks and rioting. People obviously take different views about the way forward, but it's very clear that many people are prepared to stand up for communal values of mutual support and regard for each other, even if some have gone about it the wrong way. Three aspects then of God, what God wants for us, and all three are vital to our well-being. Refusing God's offer of life will lead to death. In other words, it will lead to a life that's only material. Obviously, there's a sense in which All roads lead to physical death, but what he's talking about is a life that is more than material. The material life ends when we return to dust, as is inevitable. We can choose a life which is limited and has only temporary significance, or we can choose one that is full and contributes to the whole ongoing life of the world. The Jews who complained about Jesus and his teaching were choosing death over life in this sense. Let's turn for a moment to our Old Testament reading and what it has to tell us. It's about the prophet Elijah, and it catches him at a down moment. Now, Elijah had just had a major triumph. The people of Israel were turning from worship of the God of their fathers to worship of Baal. There were 450 prophets of Baal, and only Elijah as prophet of the Lord. And Elijah organized a showdown. Some of you may remember the story. Each would prepare a sacrifice to their God and ask that God would provide the fire. Baal's prophets went to a lot of trouble, but failed. And Elijah's God provided the fire. Elijah won and then killed all the prophets of Baal. It's not entirely a nice story, this one. Queen Jezebel, their champion, was not happy with him. And the passage we heard is taken from a time when he was fleeing for his life. He was, if you like, a wanted man. And he'd had enough. It wasn't as if he'd failed. He didn't. But he's tired. He's lonely. He wants to quit. And I wonder if you've ever been in that situation. It's not necessarily following a time when you fail. We don't always want to stop when things go wrong. Sometimes we just can't face climbing another mountain. Sometimes we can't even face another day. God comes to Elijah, and the first thing he does is offer him food. Get up and eat. And if you've ever been in the depths of despair, and someone has come and said to you, come on, have a cup of tea, you'll know how Elijah felt. That food gave him strength to carry on, and the rest of the story can be found in the Bible. But God doesn't just feed us and leave us. If we ask him, if we take our troubles to him, he will go on feeding us. And I believe that's what meant by living bread. It's not a one-off like Popeye's spinach. Do you remember Popeye? Oh, great stuff. It doesn't have a limited shelf life. It's offered repeatedly when we're in need, when we turn for help. So if I asked you what truly sustains you, I wonder what you'd say. My guess is that many people would say friendship, love, community, perhaps family. Rightly, these are things that sustain many of us. The church community is often called the body of Christ. And at this Eucharist, it's his body that sustains us. We're fed through his word, through the sacrament. And fed in this way, we become his people, just as any family that eats together grows. We're called the body of Christ, because it's through us that Jesus continues to work in the world. Big, his people, in turn we feed others. We can, of course, refuse God's offer of eternal life and his sustenance. Many people, many, many people, find all this totally meaningless and want no part of it. Yet if we accept, God promises to be with us, to nourish us, in an ongoing way, to help us become part of his kingdom and of his people, bringing life to others. It's your choice and mine. Amen.